Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I hope everybody had a great weekend. And you weren't too nervous over the weekend as we had the Brexit vote on Thursday into Friday, and of course they are walking, and who can blame them? And I guess one of the questions you have to think about is this the black swan that we've been looking for to call a top on the market? And of course, I will not comment yet. I don't know that I could call a top here yet. I would expect, you know, some sort of a rally to show up here. But also, you know, again, we've seen this movie before over time, and we've seen the result, which is usually another rally back. And of course, under any circumstances, I believe you'll get some sort of a rally. We know that even the first time down, okay, and we've seen this now again, probably, I don't know, a dozen times, that the markets will try to come back. And of course, if you read much stuff over the weekend or you looked at anything, everybody was saying, well, you know, it's a buying opportunity. And maybe it is. Again, I believe personally that the risk is to, by being long here or owning, I think that you're much better off being short. But of course, you've got to be willing to take punishment. And I don't know that anybody wants to sit there and step in front of the markets. But we've been basically in a big gyration almost for a year, but certainly for the last 3 months. Now, I think a couple things to look at here is the volatility seems to be coming back. Okay. And, you know, hey, you know, volatility is the king. That's what we always need to have to get a better trade. So that is showing up, which is a good thing. I think that, you know, there's a lot of bad news out there, but the one news that has driven the market now for, hell, is it 9 years now? 8 years? Is that the Federal Reserve is still standing by. Now, what can they do? I have no idea. Okay, but who knows? Again, when you look at the model, okay, when you look at what's going on, we have the opportunity for cheap money. And those that can benefit or take advantage of the cheap money, where are you going to put your money? So you always have to look back from a fundamental standpoint, where's the money going to go? Now, technically, I think it looks like dog crap. Okay, I think that nothing looks very good. I think that really what we're looking at here is another start of the revolution. Okay, now again, I'm not calling for a fighting or, you know, revolution, but again, you're starting to have a lot of dissent through all parts of the world. Okay, nobody's really happy. And what does that tell you? Well, certainly it tells me that the central bankers did a shitty job. Okay, and continue to do so. Now, again, you know, I bash them on a regular basis. I'm not going to make this a central bank issue or a Fed issue. But certainly, the currencies are collapsing. And don't kid yourself. They're collapsing your money. Okay. All they're doing is taking away your buying power. So you can, you know, you can chortle about it all you want. And you can back the Fed all you want. But at the end of the day, your buying power is slipping away. Okay. And they are trying to enforce and bring on inflation. And of course, I keep asking the dumb question, well, what is higher gas prices and higher food prices? But they don't count. So food and energy don't count when we talk about inflation. And, you know, yet we're making less money and spending more. That's not a good formation or formula. And, of course, the debt continues to pile up and build. And, you know, what do we care? You know, again, we're central bankers. We can make all the money we want. So when you look at the picture, okay, so Brexit's just another knocking the armor. Now, will it end up being the one thing that we will focus on and that will drill these markets down? It could be. Okay. But again, I look for either way, and I always like to remind everybody, you know, people refuse to compare this to 2008, but I don't know why, because this is just like 2008, except we're substitute housing with auto loans. But under obviously the auto loans are not quite as big as the housing, but the overall debt number is just as big. But markets and history do repeat themselves. So, you know, is this going to be the repeat? And is the Brexit going to be the issue? But even if it is, again, in 2008 and 2009, the markets had major rallies that were actually selling opportunities. And we have not had, in this most recent sequence, we have not had that rally that if you sold into it was a no-brainer that it worked for you. Okay, that has been the problem. You know, I had that problem on February 11th when the markets bottomed. And thought that, you know, well, we're going to wait for a rally. We waited for the rally, but the rally didn't stop. Okay, so we got short too soon. And this is, again, from a trading standpoint and a technical standpoint, that you have to, you know, find the opportunities. But one thing you never want to do is you never want to chase the market down or chase it up. You're better off missing those trades. When you feel compelled to chase a market, you are much better off missing that trade. Because you're very rarely going to be right, okay? Just like the jackasses that were predicting the Brexit, except for me, I said that they were going to pull all along. I never wavered on that. And, of course, I'm not patting myself on the back, but I'm saying that, you know, again, people are very unhappy. The people are telling you that. The way that you're seeing the rise of a Trump, the rise of a Bernie Sanders, okay? Those are all things that are telling you that there's problems out here that we don't like. Okay. And that's why you're seeing some of the change. And that's why you're seeing some pushback on the asshole politicians that are out there. Okay. So when you look at it, you can say, okay, that does now make sense. So Brexit was just another knock, right? Now, you know, who's going to be next and who's going to want to pull next? Okay. Now, you know, it was very easy for Britain, okay, for the UK, because they had their own currency. They were already, they were part of it, but they weren't part of it. So it was not as big of an ordeal because they were very strong with or without. So, you know, we'll see what's next and who's next. But this is not the kind of encouraging sign if you think that the everything is hunky-dory and the world is in great shape, because it's not. We are in horrible shape from a full-blown fundamental standpoint. You can listen to all the jackasses tell you how good everything is, but you know, ask them how much of their own private money they're putting to play, and I assure you, you will find that it will not be very much. And that becomes the bigger problem in life because, again, many of us are guided and believe in those guys who tell us, and again, I always like to talk to somebody who's got skin in the game and not somebody who's just trying to fleece my wallet. So, and that's like our friends at Thinkorswim. They're not trying to fleece your wallet. They're very fair priced. They've got a lot of value for your buck. They have every day they've got swim lessons. Every day they've got their technical stuff. And every day they are trying to help educate you to make you better at what you do. And I think that's important to understand because, you know, between technically speaking and the plunge and everything else that they do, they're out there trying to help you be better at what you do. And that's always why we like them. That's why that's one of the platforms that I use. But, you know, they were built by traders, user-friendly, built by traders for traders. So check out Thinkorswim. This is the Bubba Show. You know, when you miss an episode, you know what you got to do, right? I mean, I tell you every day, but I'm gonna keep telling you until I get. I'm trying to get to a million, but right now our next goal is 300,000. LibertyTalk.fm gets you there, okay, and that also gets you the Sporting Edge as well. But make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, I'm gonna step out here for a break. This is the Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horowitz, and I will be right back.
Follow me, mostly in Asia. Stay with me. Now.
Welcome back to Gamblers Anonymous. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And the reason I threw that in there is because I got to tell you, I am pretty angry about all of the press coverage on the Brexit. I am pretty angry at the misguidings and misleading that we saw from the major media outlets. Now, what am I talking about? Well, I'm really upset that they brought even the bookmakers in to this whole thing. Now, if you're not aware, in London, they're called punters, and those are bookmakers, and it's legal there, okay? And so there's a lot of betting going on every day and everything. I mean, listen, there's a ton of stuff being bet on. There's many websites that in the United States we can't use them, but you can certainly get the odds. And the odds indicated that they were that there was not going to be a pullout. And the odds indicated, you know, that was a pretty they were a pretty heavy favorite to stay. But again, as we all know, or maybe we don't all know, but odds are only odds. I mean, there's nothing 100%. And as Dennis Farina used to say for Miller Lite for the commercial, the only lock in sports, the only locks out there are the ones they put on the gates. But here's where I'm mad. Okay. The first thing is if somebody was smart enough, okay, and I believe that somebody probably was, okay, to make a huge bet that they were going to stay, even if they didn't necessarily believe it, and the media picked it up and started chapping about it every single day, about, oh, my God, there's no way they're leaving because the bettors are always right. Well, you know, there's an interesting trade in markets called an arbitrage, okay? Now, an arb is done in many different ways, but one of the simple arbs is like what we call a reversal or a conversion. And just a quick, what that is if you own a stock and you want to convert it and hold it, you can, you own the stock, you buy a put, you sell a call, and you can squeeze out a few pennies off of that trade and never be in danger with the stock. Okay. And that's an arbitrage type of trade. Okay. And then they've built fancier ones that use futures against this and that. There's all ways to do things that mathematically are sound and will fit. So now here I am, you know, I got a feeling that they're going to pull, but I know that the media is going to pick this up and run with it like crazy. So I go and I bet $500,000 on, or let's say 500,000 pounds on they're going to stay. So now everybody says, oh, they're going to stay. It's easy. So what did we see happen? Okay. Now, I'm not saying this is a fact, but this is how I would look at it. And I wrote about this, and I informed everybody I know in the media that this was very potential what was happening. So now it's picked up, and now the markets rally. Look what happened. Look at how high we rallied all the way into Thursday. Okay. Now, that wasn't on anything but that Britain was going to stay. Really, what they did is they lost the week before, and we were really just back at the upper end of that range. So now I get the markets rallying. Okay, so now I step in and I start buying puts, or I sell futures. Now, obviously, the pure arb is buying puts. Now, I buy puts on the indexes. I buy puts on the FTSE. I buy puts everywhere. I buy puts on the British pound. Okay, I buy puts everywhere. Okay, and I take the assumed $500,000 that I'm going to win. Okay, and I bet it, or I place trades that give me puts and all these major things that will have a major effect if the market should tank. Okay. Now think about this. Follow me here. So the market, the news comes out. It's bad. I lose my 500,000, but my 500,000 investment is now probably worth 5 million. So I've arbed out or created a profit. And now I'm singing along and I'm out. I'm still short. I own stuff that the market goes down, but I've taken all my money out plus a profit. So now I've arbed out part of the market and created that synthetic model that gives me the winner that way. Now, let's say that it actually did stay and the vote said, okay, they stay in. All right, well, I get my 500,000 back, right? And now, you know, I make my profit. And now I still own all these potential short positions in the market. Okay. So, you know, and they don't expire today or on the day of the event. You know, I could have bought them out in time. I could have bought them out a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever, you know, because options and futures have dates on which they expire. So not only do I have the money, now I have my money, I made a profit, and now I'm holding these puts that are maybe worthless today. But again, it's a long time between now and expiration, so now I can collect on the other side. So again, that's a pure arbitrage, okay? And nobody looked at it that way, and they continued to bang the drum on what was happening. And to me, that's irresponsible because, again, many people just listen to the news and try to trade off of that, okay, and try to put their position on off of that. And, of course, what do we know for a fact is that most of the time it's wrong. And that's what bothers me because you created a monster, and certainly somebody was smart enough to do that and had enough capital to do those kind of plays, which would take, let's say, $1 million in cash, okay, could have easily set that up and had themselves in a win-win position. And not only a win-win, but a chance to clean up on either side of the market. But certainly the way that it happened certainly helped them. And that, to me, is the bigger problem. That, to me, is irresponsible journalism without explaining the other things that can potentially happen. Because, again, it did happen, and I predicted it ahead of that time. And I think that it's a shame that we have to hear things and hear person after person come on and agree with them saying, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right, yeah, that's right. So the market's going to rally. Well, again, it wasn't right. And again, whether you were right or wrong on the number, you should have been able to figure out that maybe they were doing something that was something a little funky. And that was a tip off to me because, again, it's more rigged. It's no different than Goldman and James and J.P. Morgan spoofing the market. So if you spoof the bet, okay, then you locked yourself up and you put yourself in an unbelievable chance to make money. And of course, it did work out that way. So to me, I don't like that type of reporting. I think if you're going to report, you have to report not the sensational news and keep clamoring on it, but report the things that happen and then what the effects of that are. Because, you know, every time somebody makes a big buy of something, somebody makes a big sale, you'll hear always, you know, somebody bought 20,000 call options in ABC company. Well, okay, good. But somebody also sold 20,000. So obviously two people have an opinion. One thinks they're going up, one thinks they're going down. So why do you only report on the side that's going up? You know, it was interesting. On Friday, Art Cashin came on and said there's $900 million to buy. And I had told people that I felt that the market was going to collapse and close near its lows. Now, Art Cashin, I respect him. I think he's great. However, $900 million to buy doesn't mean anything. In a market that's having that much volume, it's relatively meaningless. So here we have this thing, and people are getting bullish, and they're jumping in. And of course, then the market just absolutely cratered and collapsed. Okay, so if you think about it, again, you have to think about what's going on and think about the reaction of the market to the news that you're receiving, because the news itself is not the driving indicator. Okay, you have to think it through logically. Where is it? What can happen? And what can we do? And that, to me, is more important. And I think that would be better coverage for the average investor. And I'm, you know, if anybody has an opinion, let me know. I started doing some TV, and I sent out this weekend what I call Bubba's Bottom Line, Real Markets for Real People. If you'd like to get a copy of it, like to see it, it's a 26-minute of different coverages of what's going on. You know, just shoot me an email at bubba@bubbatrading.com. Love to have you aboard if you'd like. It's free. But again, I want to, you know, get people's opinion as well, because I'm you know, obviously I'm trying to ever evolve into a better journalist, a better reporter, because my beliefs are always trying to help the underdog, and I believe we, as the retail trader, are the underdogs. So my goal is always to help the individual strive, because we're always fighting against the big guys, and to me, that's where we need to be picked up and taught a few more things, which is why I always hear at the Bubba Show, I'm trying to teach, you know, an understanding of markets, because I believe it's very important. And that's all of my courses I teach always teach the basics of markets, because for every buyer, there has to be a seller. So, you know, we don't, and even on the Brexit bet, there was somebody who was betting the other side of that bet as well. So at the end of the day, again, I don't like irresponsible journalism. I don't like being told that this is a done deal because, again, nothing is a done deal until, as I like to say, until the check clears the bank, it ain't done. Okay. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, of course. And I want to remind you that if you're not getting the show every day, you can download it. LibertyTalk.fm. You can also download the Sporting Edge. And we're starting to develop all these things, and we want to make sure that you're a part of it. So make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Be right back.
Margie said, Roy, you ain't.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, it's great to have you back. And I tell you, last week you nailed that VXX trade, and you mentioned that you saw, although we only use it as a short-term trade, you mentioned that it was going to be, looks like it was going to pop. And sure enough, there it was. Welcome back, Matt.
Oh, good to be here, Todd. Thanks.
So what did you see in the VXX? I mean, you know, again, you guys got to understand, so we make sure everybody knows who we're talking to. Matt is not looking at the market. He's not watching TV. He's not getting emotional. He's simply watching the charts the way that he watches them. He's a, you know, a CMT. He's a, you know, one of the few in the world that's what they do. And his whole life is based around the lines and the numbers that he sees. So you had a reason to get in. What were you seeing there that said, hey, it's time to get in?
Well, the in VXX, we were seeing a target low right around 13, and you know, we didn't get there until actually right before the referendum results were released. So this was, you know, right around 4 p.m. On Thursday. So we bought a fairly large VXX position, which obviously turned out very well after we got the leave vote. And that the only thing is it came right down to the wire. We weren't going to be sure how that was going to turn out until that VXX hit our target.
And that's – so one of the things that everybody understands is you're looking at pure targets. Now, I know you don't really – you're not a news guy, but what did – didn't you see that some of that was priced into the market? I mean, you know, I talk a lot about market expectations, and I talk a lot about things. And, you know, basically the markets really had continued to gyrate, you know, back and forth. And, you know, last week, well, 10 days ago, the markets were breaking, and then they rallied into the announcement because everybody was so convinced that they were going to stay. And then, of course, the charts gave you a reason, and that really was priced in for you. And you said, okay, well, this is, you know, they've already, but I mean, you're not saying this. I'm putting words in Matt's mouth right now. But the charts were saying, well, we've already priced this in, so we really have no choice. We can only go the other way. And in this case, the VXX happened to be higher. Is that something that you look at?
Yeah, well, it was last week was actually pretty confusing because You know, at the beginning of the week, we were looking, as last time we talked, we were looking for a bounce, which we obviously got. I was thinking from the standpoint of we go a little bit lower and then we would bounce. And the idea was that we hadn't hit, this is talking about, you know, equities markets in general. We were expecting a little bit, you know, we had targets a little bit lower and they hadn't been hit. So I was thinking, well, we're so close, we'll just go a little bit lower and then, you know, we'll get the referendum. It will be a remain probably. And then we'll get the bounce. Instead, we got the bounce first. And then, you know, we were sitting there thinking, well, what about these lower targets that we just missed? You know, we didn't get down low enough. Well, we hit them after the referendum. So, you know, I'm thinking that this week we're going to see a bounce. Multiple targets have been hit. Not all of them have. We might get, you know, some more, a little more downside right here early, but I think we're going to put on some, you know, stage a bounce this week.
And I would look at, I would never be surprised at a bounce. You know, one of the things I try to explain to everybody who doesn't do quite the work that you do is, look, markets don't go straight up. They don't go straight down. They feel like they do, but there's always is a bounce. And again, I always like to refer back to 2008 just because that's the most recent of this. And even when the markets went all the way down to 6,000, there was a lot of monster rallies between 14 and 6,000 on the way down. And you're going to get an opportunity to get short. And I'm assuming that your numbers, your charts will tell you that there's probably some selling up above and that a rally would be the best thing because that would give you the best opportunity to get short the market after a rally into a probably declining trending line.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, generally speaking, we're still bearish. All the major long-term targets have not been hit to the downside. So yeah, for right now, we're still talking about like we were talking about. We're still in a major downtrend, but there are going to be these bounces along the way. And I think if we don't get one this week, then we are just going to head straight down to the as far as what I'm seeing in the Euro stocks. For example, if we break 2,700 to the downside, there's very clear very clear support, you know, traditional support, just lateral kind of support from the February lows right around 2,700. We break below that, then we can go all the way down to, you know, final lows, which I'm seeing is roughly 2,400.
You're more benevolent than I am. I see. I don't follow the Euro stocks as much, but I do see, in my opinion, and I see possibly as much as a 30% haircut in the U.S. equities. So, but
that's a funny thing too. We're, you know, that's why I kind of think we're going to get a bounce because we're seeing U.S. markets going lower than now as the longer term patterns playing out. We're seeing the U.S. markets going lower than their February lows. So how can that be true when at the same time we're seeing, you know, only say another 15% lower in Euro stocks? I it's hard to put those two things together. So that's why I think we're going to have a bounce first that establishes, that gets the Euro stocks back up to a more elevated level. And meanwhile, I think it'll bounce a lot harder than U.S. I think, you know, in U.S. we don't really have a lot more upside left. I really think, you know, I've been saying 2142 is the absolute top, and we haven't hit it. We had another target at 2120. So far, that's the one holding.
Right.
But you know, the risk reward is definitely, you know, in the favor of being bearish here.
If you're long here, you got a lot more risk than if you're short, and I get that. So, you know, you've exactly talked about for weeks that the banks were accumulating a monster position in VIX futures, and they had record positions, and of course, they got paid. Did they take out? Did they cover? Do you know?
Yeah, no. The banks. This is one of the funny times. The few times the banks as a group really screwed up because right before, you know, this latest COT report only goes through Tuesday, as it does every week, and that's obviously before the Brexit referendum. They covered a ton of their VIX futures position. Or sorry, they sold a bunch of their they were long, so they sold a bunch of their VIX futures positions, and they added some short positions as well. So they were still net long, so they did well on volatility, but they started turning as if they expected a remain vote. and obviously they got that wrong. In addition, they were heavily long the pound going into they increased it going into the referendum vote. So they really took a hit, I think.
That's amazing. Now this is a funny thing, and this is why Matt does what he does, and this is what makes, you know, Demeter Research so valuable, is he didn't have any opinion. You know, he didn't let the noise from the outside get in the way of what the chart said. And I think that's one of the most important things, is to not let the outside noise, because they were talking about the bookmakers, they were talking about this and that, and there was no way that they were pulling out. And I was the only one myself that was on TV saying, hey, I see him leaving, and I think it's a good thing. But isn't that the most important thing, Matt, to how you stay away from the emotion of hearing the news? Because it's hard, if you let the news influence you, it's hard not to get involved. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, you get too caught up in you know, when everybody is saying, oh, it's going to be, for something like this with the odds makers, that's, by the way, that was an awesome call to, you know, call it they were going to leave. We only flipped to the fact that they were going to leave right at the end of the day on Wednesday, you know, before the vote had been counted. But you were saying it well in advance. Yeah, as far as, you know, on Friday evening, all the, you know, everybody was talking about, you know, we're going to, you know, get, you know, smashed to the downside. The downside was, you know, dramatic from here. I mean, it is, you know, medium long term. I just all that bearishness, you know, that's come out makes me want to go the other direction.
I agree. I look at it, I'm a firm believer there's going to be a bounce this week at some point. You know, again, you just don't go straight up and straight down. And I think that is the thing to watch. And that's why technical trading and analyzing what you're seeing and staying away from the outside noise is the most important thing. A guy can, that's where, like I said, I that's why Matt's on every week, because he is purely unemotional. Now, he may be emotional at home, but he's not emotional when it comes to the market. And that is the way that you have to be when you're trading or you're investing. You have to be unemotional, because you can easily be swayed in and out of markets because they do have some volatility. And if this volatility is going to stay, Matt, it's going to be really interesting. And of course, you and I both know that, you know, volatile markets like this are really our best friend, because they give you the best opportunities to make the most amount of money in the shortest period of time when you get these wild swings. What do you think?
No, yeah, volatility is great. I mean, you know, that's the best for our style. I mean, you know, I complain when we have these, you know, sideways, choppy markets, particularly what we've had in the S&P for months. It presents so few opportunities. It's unless brutal. You're just going to sell options, which, you know, it's a perfect for that strategy.
It's brutal, and we're going to stop by for a break in a second, but we're going to come back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and we're going to talk to Matt about the dollar, because that's interesting as well. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And, you know, when you miss an episode, you know where to go, right? LibertyTalk.fm. That's Bubba's station. And, you know, again, we're just over $225,000 a month. We're trying to get to $300,000. We need your help. So make sure you go there and check it out. You can also get the Sporting Edge there as well. In the meantime, we're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back with more from Matt Demeter after break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Sounds like he's opening up a Coca-Cola or whatever he drinks. But I heard the vacuum of a can. And, you know, he's got to get some liquid in him because he gets parched. He does so much work for us. But so, Matt, you know, the dollar obviously had a big up move. And, of course, there's a lot of fundamental reasons that, you know, the interest rate models and everything else is pushing it up. But you've been saying for quite a while that the dollar should and will probably make one more run to the buck or to 100 or maybe a little bit more. Is this the start of that move, in your opinion?
No, actually, I think we're going to have, you know, we're going to have one more drop in the dollar. I don't think it's going to go lower than the low we got, a month ago or two ago. and then I think it'll start again. I think 92 is going to be our low again in the dollar index, and then from there we're going to have that rally.
Okay, so and that makes sense, because that would actually time into, you know, once again the interest rate talk, which we know. Now again, this is not, Matt doesn't do the fundamental part of it, but the interest rate talk. If the Fed would raise rates, it would raise the dollar, because we're so much higher than everybody else now. Anyways, that it can only bring strength to the dollar. But Matt, is there anything out there that you're looking at? You go, oh my God, this is just like standing out like a sore thumb. I mean, I know you do all your work, but is there any one chart that's really standing out right now?
The yen is crazy. The yen, I mean, it's, but that's been the case for a while. I mean, when it peaked at 125, we were calling a top, and I should say dollar yen. When it peaked at 125, we called a top in dollar yen, and then yen's been strengthening ever since, or dollar yen's been weakening. That we have a really good target at 92 on yen, and from there we should probably get a big rally in dollar yen, and then at that point, once we get back up to roughly 100, so I have to take a look at my charts again, but we're gonna get back over 110 at least, and at that point we'll be shorting again. But that's calling for the yen going to the dollar yen going to new lows, and the yen itself going to new highs, which I don't think anybody really expects, but that's going to be, I would assume, extremely negative for equity markets.
I think there's a lot of stuff that's negative for equity markets. And of course, you know, you've talked about the treasuries and the end of the 36-year bull market. And does the action that we saw because of the Brexit, does that change any of your views? Or is it just another reason to sell some more either bond futures or buy some more TBT or sell TLT? What does it do to you?
No, it didn't change our opinion. And actually, if you now that I think about it, that would probably be the most, you know, as far as a chart stands out, that is the one that is probably the biggest, it's the biggest bull market coming to an end. We were looking at the action over the past week, and, you know, I was thinking that low that we got at 1.52% in the 10-year was the bottom in the rate, and therefore the top in the treasury market. We're just sort of fine tuning that now that we're looking at the really short term data. And it looks like for us, the final bottom will occur at 1.46%.
That's what you said, 1.45. And I said, no, it's going to 1.2. But again, they're both close. And that would be, so you would expect a sell-off in the future again to raise the rate and to lower the rate. And then again, but looking for a spot to actually short this market, because now, as you said, and your position spoke for itself when you bought the TBT at 32.55 or 32.49 2 weeks ago. Are you adding to that position now, or are you waiting? What are you doing?
Yeah, we've added some to it. Every time we get a spike up in treasuries, we add to the TBT position because it's a, you know, double short, and we short treasury futures. We're just building the position slowly, because this is sort of a process, a topping process, and in the treasury. So we're just going to continue to add to it, and it's going to be a really big position for us. So we're putting our money where our mouth is.
One of those that we're going to step up to the plate, big boy. So, as I look at oil, I said that I thought oil was too toppy, and of course they really tried to ram me. They tried to torture me, all week last week, and when they pinned it back up to 51, I said, this can't be, and every expert's come out, oh, we're going up, and oil's so important. I go, oh, please stop, leave me alone. I have to watch, because I have to be prepared to comment back if they reach out to me. But what's your view on oil here now?
Oil, the daily indicators are getting toward support levels, but they're not quite there yet, so still short-term, I think, a little more downside. The longer-term ones are still overbought. They're still looking like they want to, continue lower. So even if we get a bounce in the short term, I think it'll be temporary, and then we're going to get a much bigger move to the downside over time, over the next few months.
And I agree with that as well. So let's go back to our main call we've been talking about almost every week for quite a while, and that's the wheat and the wheat soybeans. So wheat has come down back to that major support level, which you bought off of originally, And of course, soybeans were down much farther, which you had the weak soybeans trade on, you know, long wheat, short beans. And you're still liking that trade? And does that look like it has some legs? I mean, now to me, obviously, I think the wheat has put the bottom in as well, and in agreement with you. So is this a nice place to add to that trade here?
Yeah, no, I still like that trade. I think it's a perfect time to actually put it on in the first place. If we had waited till now, it would have been even better for us. But I think it's playing out the way we want. I think I agree with you. We are at support, so you know we can get long. One could get long here and then put a stop, you know, just a few percent lower. Soybeans, I think, hit an important pivot line the way my work works, and from that spot it should go back down towards the lows. So that the lows we saw a few months ago. So. You know, much more downside left than soybeans, not much left in wheat. So it's a perfect trade to put on now. If we are stopped out of the long position in wheat, we'll keep the short position in soybeans.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, Matt. You know, I thought that soybeans were stubbornly strong, even though they went down nicely. But, of course, obviously, you know, if a $5 thing goes down 10% or a $10 thing goes down 5%, it's the same thing in dollar-wise. But I thought they were amazingly strong, but weak. And I expect, if I look at Novi beans, okay, I expect to see $10 or under in here, even though we held up pretty well. What do you think? Does that sound about reasonable?
That wheat would hold up?
Well, wheat's going to hold up, but I mean, I think November beans, I think, are going to go down at least to the $10 level, which is about 80.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I think we're going to go back down to the lows that we saw, you know, just earlier this year.
Okay, and are the banks still short soybeans as well?
The banks that's a really tough call. I mean, when I look at, you know, when you look at the COT reports, it shows that the commercial traders in general, and that includes hedgers, which are the producers, like, you know, farmers, are hedging big time their soybeans positions. So they're short soybeans as a group. When you break out what the banks are doing, the banks are actually somewhat long. They're also long wheat, though, but they're long. They're long soybeans as of the last report, but that was now 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So at this point, you know, they've probably sold with the strength. They always sell into strength. They've probably unloaded a lot of their soybeans positions at this point.
Oh no, they're all hedged because I'm the number one hedger in the business, and I've got everybody hedging right now. So, you know, I've had them hedging, but I always hedge all the time. I mean, why not? It's such a great mathematical model. Why not always be hedged? And so, you know, once in a while you give up a little bit of the upside, but you're not selling it today anyway. So, you know, why not be hedged and be able to benefit from the downside? So. You know, I know you're not really a news guy, but, you know, we got just a few seconds here. So the vote was what it was. Now, do you think this will have ramifications and lead on to other currencies that decide that, hey, they don't want to be in either anymore?
I think eventually it does. I don't think the pound is done dropping. I think it's got quite a bit lower to go. So I know at least for the pound, it's not good. I think the euro is stable right here for a while at least. I think we're going to have a rally in the euro. I don't know, you know, politically whether other countries are thinking about leaving or not. They would be harder to leave, obviously, because all the rest are part of the euro currency, whereas
British pound, yeah, they're both. Own, yeah. And that's why we love Matt, because he don't know what's going on with the news. He just knows how to read the charts. And that, well, that's good. That's the best way to be. Trust me, I get it. Matt Demeter, as always, thanks for being on. It was great and great call on the VXX, as well as a lot of the other things you've called. I appreciate it. Great job.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
This is our guy, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And again, remember, it's always about the chart. I mean, all the rest is noise, and that's why he sits in his dark room and doesn't get involved in all these news items, which is important to understand. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich. You missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you the downloads, and you can get the Sporting Edge here as well, but make sure you check it out. That'll do it for today. We appreciate you being here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwich. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.